News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.
In the meantime, Francis Fitzgerald is with us, of course, former Taoiseach, currently member of the G7 Equality Advisory Council and ambassador for anti-trafficking organisation Rubhama, to look at some of the stories that you may not yet have heard and to give analysis on some of those that you have. And before we get into the breaking stories of the morning, Francis, the big issue, of course, this week and where a lot of focus is on is immigration, illegal immigration, immigration controls. If you cast your mind back, I think you were in office in justice around the time of the Aylan Kurdi pictures appearing on the front of the papers and that first wave of major migration. Has most of Western Europe mishandled the whole immigration issue in the subsequent 10, 15 years?
Well, a lot of people would argue that, in fact, Europe wasn't clear about what they wanted in relation to immigration. They didn't focus enough, you could say we didn't focus enough, on legal migration. And, of course, what you've seen in Europe is a complete change in relation to saying we've got to get a handle on this. They brought in the Migration and Asylum Pact, so-called, to lay out clear rules about protecting borders. I mean, Europe has started to talk much more about protecting its own borders. And I think many aspects of that are reasonable. On the other hand, you can have the prejudice that we're seeing. You have to have an asylum system that remains there because torture is widespread. People are, you know, treated very badly. People are stereotyped. They need support. They need to escape. And that's what asylum is about. But I think the system was abused because in the sense that so many people who came for economic reasons, came in, were given asylum, and in fact they weren't asylum seekers actually. So there's a kind of a corrective going on now, and I think that's what has created unease, if
and
you
I
like.
And I wonder as well, has there been a reluctance to get into the subtleties of those kind of issues? Because, I mean, a bit like the sort of the Bertie Ahern video from the Canvas, delineating between different types of migrant has always been seen as a risky thing to do.
Listen, it's incredibly difficult. And even if you're so-called economic migrant, what are the circumstances you are coming from? War, conflict, the geopolitical issues we're seeing at present, the famine in Sudan, Ethiopia, other places. So, I mean, migration, the world has always struggled with migration, actually. This is not new, but it takes different nuances at different times.
Well, we're going to be heading back to cover the issues in Northern Ireland of this week. In a couple of minutes, we'll be speaking to Matt Carty and to the DUP's Gregory Campbell MP. Before that, Bill Gates has been giving testimony in respect of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and has made some interesting allegations about the late financier.
Well, it seems like much ado about nothing, to be honest. He's in before a committee in the States, a Congress committee. He's to give testimony about his relationship with Epstein. And of course, he went in very downtrodden, pretty downtrodden. He did look pretty worn down and stressed. But if I were his attorneys, that's exactly how I'd coach him to be in front of this crew.
This is according to one US commentator.
This was a comment that was made. But apparently he knew that Epstein knew that Gates was having affairs, and he sort of threatened to blackmail him. Now, trying to blackmail Bill Gates about this all sounds to me fairly pathetic. But he says he never went to the island. He never knew about any criminal.
But it goes to show the level of influence that Epstein was seeking to have. Well, if you're willing to blackmail one of the richest men in the world.
It's extraordinary. I mean, it's just another example of the kind of influence and power and persuasive power that Epstein had, as you say, over one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man in the world. But as he denies, obviously, completely that he ever knew anything about the criminal activity, and that he was hoping, this is very interesting, he was hoping that Epstein would give money to his charities. When he realised that Epstein wasn't going to support his charities, he cut contact with him.
Aer Lingus, meanwhile, there used to be a tradition in Ireland where about every decade or so, Aer Lingus would walk up to the edge of bankruptcy and have a big restructuring plan. It is no longer the flag carrier. It's part of IAG. But its former boss thinks it's heading in its old traditional way of going
gosh.
To the wall.
I mean, this is a fascinating interview from Willie Walsh, as always, who was in charge of IAG. Aer Lingus is now, if you like, under. He was the chief executive.
And if I remember rightly, was the driving force in Aer Lingus being subsumed into IAG? It was he who put that
deal together. I think he was the chief executive and did great work with IAG. And he's now gone to work with an Indian airline. But he has given this very critical interview about Aer Lingus and is saying it's not really reaching the kind of targets that IAG have for airlines. And if, you know, they don't cop on, it's they're not going to survive. And it's quite a warning. He says you either want to survive and thrive or you're going to shrink and die. He said it's a good acquisition for IAG, but if it doesn't perform, it's not going to have a future. I think a lot of people would be very disappointed to hear this. Now,
but the numbers don't stack up well because he lists all of the participant airlines. I mean, there's BA, there's Iberia. I can't remember the full list who are in IAG.
Yes.
And he says that if you look at their performance, Aer Lingus is sticking out like a sore thumb.
Well, he says they've reported, and they have, an operating loss of 103 million in the first quarter of this year. Now, it's typically a loss-making period, but with the amount of travel that Irish people are doing and the holidays abroad and so on, you would wonder what is actually going on and where can they cut? Where can they cut those margins and really become more profitable?
And I see the Business Post reporting that that is exactly what they are planning to undertake, is a big cost-cutting drive.
And that causes a lot of tensions, of course.
Finally, if you have buckets and buckets of money for the person who has everything, finally the gift that answers that question, a handbag made from dinosaur leather.
This is one of the more ridiculous stories I have ever seen. This is meant to be a DNA that they've recovered from, you know, something or other, some land in Montana, from a fossil.
It's a Jurassic handbag.
Yes, but it's not. And here's the quote. It's not a dinosaur, it's more chicken. Now, who wants to buy a chicken handbag? I mean, what they have done is create synthetic collagen using an AI model trained on a variety of species. Now, it's been auctioned today, can you believe? I hate to tell you, 600,000 is the going rate for this crazy handbag.
For a handbag made out of prehistoric
chicken. Is anybody going to buy this?
It's a statement piece. Francis, thank you very much. That is Francis Fitzgerald coming up.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.